The first scripture reading is from the book of Acts. It's on page 1164 in your pew Bibles. And we read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me." John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, found on page 1249. And we read Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1132. And we read Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the ascension of our Lord Jesus. In one place recorded in the book of Acts, and in particular this verse, as the angels come and greet the disciples. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is our text. If you look up or Google the phrase unintended consequences, you will find a mass of information regarding people or even governments that have made what they thought were good little changes in something and created disasters by doing it. One such disaster occurred in the early 1980s. It concerned the building of a hotel, I believe in Kansas City. The center of the hotel was a large gathering area, and around it were balconies suspended by steel rods. When the engineers designed the balconies, they intended there to be one steel rod coming down, and then there were individual little nuts that would hold each balcony in place. Well, sometimes engineers design things that aren't exactly easy to implement. It would be difficult to get the particular balconies up and in place and so perfectly aligned that one rod could go straight through each separate balcony. And so they decided that they would cut the rod and shift the rod over and then come down and support the next balcony just slightly, if you will, off center from the other rods. It made putting up the balconies so much easier. Except they didn't talk to the engineers when they made that change. True, the rod was able to support all the weight of the balconies. But by that little shift, moving the rod over just a little bit on the lower balcony, the nut that was holding the top balcony not only had to hold the weight of the top balcony, but also the weight of the bottom balcony as well. And one day when a large crowd was gathered watching events on the floor of the hotel, listening to music and swaying along with it, the balconies collapsed. 200 people were killed. The engineers had engineered everything perfectly, but people who weren't engineers thought they could make things a little bit better, a little bit easier. And the whole thing came crashing down. As Jesus was preparing his disciples for his ascension, he opened up the scriptures to them. The law, the prophets, the Psalms. Back in Jesus' day, that's how they described what we now call the Old Testament. Essentially showing them, as if A great designer is explaining his design. That it was all about him. That wasn't the first time Jesus had done that. If we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. It is all about Jesus. And if you try, if you will, to tweak something, to change it a little bit, what may seem unimportant in the grand scheme of things is sometimes critically important. You know, if you ask most Christians today how the world was created, well, they may believe that God had a hand in it, but it probably took, like the scientists say, about 4 billion years to get the whole thing done. Evolution, we call it. And it was sort of interesting, not too long ago, as we were going through the first article of the Apostles' Creed and Wednesday morning Bible class reviewing the Catechism, the new explanation to the Catechism brought out an interesting point. If it took 4 billion years to create the world, when Christ comes again to judge the world and to make a new heavens and a new earth, how long is that going to take? We, as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members, have never accepted the 4 billion year chronology, if you will. It has not more to do than just creation. It has to do with life and death and sin itself. For the scripture teaches that when God finished his creation, it was all very good. And what wrecked it all? Sin. And there is this intimate connection between sin and death. When sin came into the world, death came into the world. And our redemption is to be redeemed back into a new world, a new heavens, and a new earth where death is no more. The whole creation itself looks forward to its freedom, to decay and bondage, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. But if the world was around for 4 billion years before, if you will, God somehow intervened and man evolved, when did death get started? Long before sin came along. And if Christ is going to come again, as the angels told the disciples, as they watched him ascend into heaven, how long is it going to take him when he comes again to remake this world? You see, you can't mess with the design of God. You change one little thing and you think it's not going to have any consequences. Then all of a sudden, as you watch, the whole thing starts to come crashing down. We believe Jesus Christ died and rose and ascended on high. And there he lives right now, interceding for us, standing before the Father as we poor sinners pray to him, showing him his hands and his feet, and telling him our sins are paid for, to graciously hear and to grant our prayers for his sake. And we look forward because when Christ ascended into heaven, he told us he was going to prepare a place for us. We recognize through the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ that this world is not our ultimate destination. That a new world, a new life is being prepared for us. Not something that we can create with our own hands, but something that God is going to make for us. That one day we can look forward to living in a world where sin is no more, where there's no more crying, no more tears, and no more death. That's the world that Christ is preparing for us. And he has promised to give it to us and to all who put their faith in his death and resurrection as the one and only payment for our sins. But if we are to remain steadfast in that one saving faith, just as Jesus opened all the scriptures to the minds of his disciples, telling them that it was all about him, so we must remain faithful in our reading of scriptures. To not think that we can design something better, or that changing one thing is not going to have an effect on how we read the rest of scriptures. It's all about him. And if we reject one point, it's changing. Not that he can be changed, but it's changing who Christ is and what he has done for us. As Jesus was preparing his disciples for life without his visible presence here on this earth, his last and final act was to take them through all the scriptures and help them understand how it's all about him. May God grant that we too remain faithful to those same scriptures, always searching to understand Christ better by trying to understand all the scriptures better. And then going forth to do that work which he has given to us while we remain here on earth. And that work, while not always easy, is incredibly simple. To tell everyone about the repentance and forgiveness which we have through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when Christ does come again, or our life on this earth is complete, as he has gone to prepare a place for us, may we and those we know be prepared to meet him. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ guard and keep you in faith. Amen.